Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody, it's Winter with the Shift Spotlight. Welcome back to our show. Today, I am excited to be here with Andrew Legras. He is the founder and business attorney for Spira Law. They're doing things pretty differently that we're going to talk about today. And he can be found at speralaw.com. So, hi, Andrew. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Winter. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Thank you. So before we dive into what you do and how you do it, let's start with a little bit of fun. Tell us an interesting fact about you that people may not know.
I'm a big Ultimate Frisbee player. So I turned 40 recently, and I've been playing Ultimate Frisbee since really law school is where I found it. So about 15 years playing tournaments here in New Orleans and travel to some smaller ones. Not a super serious one, but it's a great way to stay in shape. It's a great community of people. And it's not something a whole lot of people do, but it's a really fun sport.
That sounds awesome. I like the just kind of, I know it can be aggressive, but I like kind of like the casual relaxedness of Frisbee versus something really aggressive.
Yeah, it can be, I would say competitive, but what's great is it's a no contact sport. So I play with guys who are in their 60s, sometimes in their 70s. And it's really cool to see, you know, I'm 40 and in a lot of sports I'm old, but I look at and play with competitive 60-year-olds. So it's fun to say, hey, I've got another 20 years. You know, I'm not even at my midway point of this game.
Yeah, totally. That's me in pickleball, right? And I've learned in pickleball, you cannot judge how old, how big, small, purple, green they are. When they get on the court, you have no idea. Like the oldest people will smoke me. It's hilarious. So So at a high level, why don't you tell us what it is that you do?
So we offer fractional general counsel services is our main line of work. So we serve companies typically between $1 and $30 million of revenue. So they're big enough to need ongoing legal advice. They have a lot of problems. They're not big enough yet for in-house counsel. And we fill a niche that typically law firms would have to go to kind of a lawyer who does a bunch of different stuff. You know, there may be a new personal injury and criminal, and they are representing a company here or there. We only represent businesses. And we also compete with the medium to larger firms that are charging these excessive hourly rates. And the problem we're trying to solve is as a business owner, that there's kind of two things that might come up. First, you might have a legal problem that you want to talk to your lawyer, but you don't think it hurts quite enough yet to call the lawyer with that high hourly rate, right? Even if it's low at $300 an hour, right? That's still probably a high hourly rate for compared to other professionals out there. Or you have the business problem where you don't even know you have a legal problem yet. And because you don't have a lawyer on staff, no one's spotting that issue until we'd like to say, until the shit really hits the fan, right?
Yeah.
Much easier to clean it up, then it's much more expensive and time consuming to clean that up than it is to adjust the fan a little bit.
Yep. So great model. Hugely needed in what we are all doing out there. But what inspired you or motivated you to start this business?
Well, to go way back, I was in I'm born and raised in New Orleans. I was an undergrad when Katrina hit and wanted to come back and went to law school and said, hey, what practice area am I going to go into? What do I want to do? And going into business was a way of we view ourselves as we build communities. So we help people build businesses and build legal protections. And we think about a business, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm never going to sell my business. Our mindset is either you sell your business or you close. Right? It's one of those two things. Sell might mean pass on to the next generation. Sell has a lot of kind of subpass, if you will. But at the end of the day, humans are mortal and businesses are not. So you're either going to shut it down entirely or you're building it to sell it. And the idea there is if you're building it to selling it, you're implementing a lot of other things, systems, you're helping out your employees and their families. So I went into this practice area with the idea of this is really a practice area where we build things up. Not necessarily, we're not the bulldogs that are, some lawyers are known for bringing things down and attacking and finding, always criticizing and bringing that animosity that lawyers are really known for. So
So
that's kind
we
of.
both have the jobs that are like probably the top two most talked about outside of car salesmen. And I have four brothers who sell cars, so I can say that. But I'm a realtor and you're an attorney, and it's like the top two most talked about negatively besides car salesmen.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that negativity comes from most people don't engage an attorney until they're experiencing a significant life problem, right? You've been in a wreck, you've been arrested, you're going through a divorce, kind of are common. Maybe you're filing bankruptcy, right? Like that's where a lot of people have that experience. And we still get that from business owners that feel like, I still get the response from a business owner, well, I don't have any legal problems right now, so I don't have a business attorney. And my almost default response is, if you own a business, you have legal problems. You might not have any legal fire problems that are dumpster fires, and you might
Right.
not know you have legal problems, but it goes back to that idea of, so if you're a business owner, are you planning on shutting it down or are you planning on selling it? Do
Right.
you have an estate plan? Do you have business succession plans? Do you have things in place? So there's potential legal problems there, and we work to spot those to prevent them from happening before they even become an issue.
Gotcha. Okay, so we all know that running a business is hard, and of course, we make mistakes along the way. But before we go into those, tell us something that you did right when you were founding this business.
Oh, that's a good question. I'd say a small thing is I signed up for a Google Voice number. That was not my cell phone, and that was the number that I put all over the world, all over the
Nice.
internet. And it was just me. I was a young attorney. I didn't have, now we're a team of five. We have an outsourced receptionist, so six if you count them. But when we grew, I was able to port that number into Google. And so, for somebody just starting out, looking back, that was a decision that not using my cell phone and using a Google Voice and growing into now, it's a Zoom phone number, I think now. But that was kind of one of the smoothest, I'd say like high ROI, right? That's one thing that I did in 2012 when I started this. We still have that same phone number. Oddly enough, I thought I was smart making that.
It's simple but effective, right? Like it's not always the, craziest idea in the world, but for somebody starting out, that's, an excellent, tip.
Yeah, and now we can route it. That number gets dialed and it used to go directly to me. Now it goes to the receptionist and the receptionist can get it to me. And there hasn't been, that's probably one thing that hasn't touched. I haven't updated that since, since getting that number 12, 15 years ago.
So let me ask you this. You said you have five, roughly five, six people. Are those 1099s or are they W-2s? And are
Yes.
those, okay, and are those the fractional folks that are helping your clients?
Yeah, so we have I'm one of the five. The six was the outsourced receptionist, so
Yeah.
they're more just like, they're a contractor through a company. We have one other attorney. Her name is Addie Pruitt. She has an LLM, a master's in tax law, so she does kind of the more advanced planning and estate planning and that sort of thing. We have a paralegal who does a lot of the kind of first drafts of things, right? So Addie and I are interacting with a lot of the clients, and we need something researched. Do we need the first draft of a thing? We hand that kind of work to Wendy. She's also doing just a lot of the, a lot of different things. And then we have two assistants that are based in the Philippines. One's doing our bookkeeping full time, and the other is doing our more of a marketing assistant. So just helping us with communications and that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Okay. And so your firm is kind of focused on pay for value. It's a pricing model that doesn't factor in time like most attorneys do. How has shifted away from hourly billing refined client relationships and expectations?
Well, for the relationship standpoint, I love it because we haven't billed by someone by the hour in years at this point. I'd have to look. But I remember when I first started, I was billing by the hour. There was always this weird friction of I'm sending you a bill, you don't know what it's going to be. And so I, it's kind of like two rent, like, my hourly rate, but what other industry lives in a world where you know the rate, but I'm going to totally make up the random amount of time, and that time times the rate is going to be your bill. Like that sort of unexpected pricing, it doesn't, there's not many like big clear examples of where else that lives other than attorneys. And so that created some weird scenarios where I felt like anytime I went to do something that where I would spend time, i.e. clients' money, I would have to get their permission to do that. And it always felt weird when, you ask me a question and I spend several hours researching it, and the answer to your question is no. Right. And so now I'm billing you just to say no, which can be valuable, but it kind of feels weird to people. Like, what did you do? You just said don't do that. It
Well,
also
and
created.
I'm smiling because it's like I think of the attorney bills that I have received, and when you put them on retainer, you're like, yeah, that's gonna go a while, right? And then all of a sudden you get this big bill and you're like, how did I use them that much? And where did that and they have it all itemized. But it's just I smile because I'm sure everybody listening to this right now can really relate to that uncertainty. When they see, the letterhead of the attorney come through on either their email or that bill coming in the mail or whatever, because you're just like, what am I going to open?
Right. Yeah. And so that pain point, then if you're a business owner, right, leads to this weird relationship where you don't want to open that. You don't want to see an email on your attorney. You don't want to talk to the attorney. It goes back to what I said earlier, is where you now, when you have an issue come up, there's the issue itself, but then there's a question you're asking yourself prior to addressing that issue, is this issue worth bringing to my attorney? Which is a friction point that shouldn't exist between a business lawyer and their attorney. We run into, go back to like why we, you asked me why I started doing business law, why we started doing this pricing is because I saw too many situations where people made a stupid legal mistake that could have been avoided with 5 minutes worth of advice, but cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars to solve, right? I'll just to give a really practical example that might apply to a lot of people right now,
Absolutely.
is a lot of companies got these EIDL loans during COVID. And the advice on the internet is if you don't want to pay it, is to dissolve your legal entity. In most states, if you dissolve an LLC, the assets and liabilities of that LLC become personal liabilities of the owners.
You pierce the corporate veil.
You don't just pierce it, you just like you pull it down. Right?
Yeah, you annihilate
It's
it.
not even a piercing. It's just like you are actually electing to tear down the corporate veil and take on those. And I see on the internet a lot of times, like, oh, I shut down my business, I dissolved the LLC. Well, now that LLC that was protecting you, that now it's yours personally, right? So I get that question from time to time, and it's interesting because from a value standpoint, right, that's more valuable advice than me actually dissolving your LLC, right?
Right.
Because I'm keeping that protection. And at least in Louisiana and Texas, the two states I'm licensed to practice in, it's cheap to maintain the LLC. Louisiana is 35 bucks a year. Texas, there's no ongoing fee. So there's like very, very low cost of maintaining that liability protection. Whereas in Louisiana is actually, it's 100 bucks to dissolve the LLC. So not only do I protect you from these liabilities that are out there, but I put a hundred, I prevent you from spending $100 by telling you to no, don't dissolve. That's the advice. And this is why,
Right.
right? And it's funny is if I'm billing you by the hour, I could charge you more for dissolving your entity than I could for telling you not to do it. And
Fair.
so
I mean,
there's this conflict of interest between my financial interest is actually to just do the thing you want me to do. If you come to me and you say, hey, well, Andrew, I want you to dissolve my LLC because I shut down my business, my financial interests say, yeah, great, I'll do that. Let me spend an hour doing that and I'll send you the invoice. Whereas if you came to me and I'm paying for value, it's actually winter. I'll tell you in 5 minutes not to
yeah.
do it for these reasons. In theory, you should pay me more than the hour that I was going to charge you to dissolve.
Right.
Hi there. This is Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. What's holding your company back? It's often blind spots in leadership, miscommunication, misaligned priorities, and untapped growth opportunities. GCE's 360 assessment provides crystal clear insights into your team's strengths and challenges. Then one of our leaders will work with you to turn those insights into an action plan, ready to build a stronger, aligned team that can execute against your vision. Learn more about our 360 assessment today.
So, you know, you're bringing transparency to an industry that is, like I said earlier, highly, it makes people very skeptical, right? And it puts people on guard. So you're bringing transparency. People love that. What's the problem with this type of strategy?
It can be tough to price things up front, right? Mm-hmm. Where we do business law, it's not... we're not filing for bankruptcy, right? We're not doing a divorce. So we're not a mill. We're not a churn and burn mill where everything is the same. So a lot of times we're creating unique proposals for people to say, hey, here's your problem and here's the price we're going to do it. So under the hourly rate model, right? You come into my office and you want some work. I say, yep, winner, I can help with that. Here's my engagement letter. It's one or two pages. It's $500 an hour. I want a $5,000 retainer, blah, 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 blah. You sign and you pay, I'm going to get started.
Yeah.
Super easy, right?
Yeah.
The flip side is, in our work, we built some of that into it, right? So for instance, we offer a legal advice session. If you just want to meet us, it's $500 for the first hour. So that is kind of like an off-the-shelf offering we have.
Yeah.
But if you're coming to me and you're saying, I have a really complex situation with my business partner and I need some advice, it's hard for us to price that. And so we've found that we don't get started on the work right away because we have to talk with our client and say, what is the scope of work? How long is it going to take? And how much is it going to cost? And we need to agree on that before we actually go do the work. So there's some pre-work to be done that doesn't exist in the hourly model, but the benefit is that we both know what the scope is and what the price is and how long it's going to take. There's a lot of uncertainty and you're not getting that scary letter in the mail that says that you get, you know, from your attorney's letter and you're like, oh shit, I don't even want to open this email.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So what kinds of things are impacting your industry right now? They could be either positive or negative.
I think AI is a massive thing. I think AI might actually kill the billable hour for attorneys. I think it's a massive threat to that. So I feel like our model is unintentionally ahead of the curve on this. And the reason for that is, you know, in the hourly rate model, I am financially incentivized. I use the word conflict of interest, even though lawyers don't use that because that has a meaning to lawyers that it's not.
My favorite that lawyers like to use is govern yourself accordingly.
Right. So, but if I'm billing you by the hour, my financial incentive is to take my time and to do to spend as much time as I can to do something, right? Whereas most business owners, they want the answer to be right and they want it to be fast, right? And so AI can help me deliver to give you a correct answer faster. And there's a lot of stories out there about attorneys getting in trouble because AI is hallucinating, which is true, but that's really not a problem with AI. That's a problem with the lawyers not doing what they're supposed to do and taking the AI and analyzing it and checking it against the actual sources that we were taught to use in law school. So there's a lot of like stories out there like that, but I'm pretty convinced that every example is just bad lawyering, not bad AIing. I'll be curious to see how lawyers continue to deal with this issue of AI enables me to give you a better work product faster. In what mm-hmm. world is a customer say, I don't want something better, faster? Like that doesn't mm-hmm. exist. Right. If I'm the lawyer and I say, well, you know, my hourly rate needs to go up to $4,000 an hour because I'm using AI and I can do something now. Like you just run into this weird problem where do your billables go? Right.
Yeah.
And something and do something quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I like the concept behind it. So you work with businesses, 1 million to 30 million. Do you have any specialty niches that you work with, or is it just business owners, founders, visionaries?
I would say part of what it takes is the business owner wanting to be proactive about their legal needs. Mm-hmm. I cannot make you proactive about legal needs. That is something that they just have to have that mindset of saying, yes, I want to be proactive. And a lot of business owners will say that and then not invest in proactive legal services. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's something, but Because we've talked to business owners that are incredibly successful, have multi-million dollar businesses, and have legal issues that need our help, but they just don't care about the legal ramifications, right? They're willing to just use LegalZoom or not use a lawyer at all, right? So in the world of business law, like, it's not like criminal law or family law or bankruptcy, right? Like, if you're hiring one of those lawyers, something has happened where you need that lawyer. Right? No one hires a criminal lawyer just in case. You don't hire a bankruptcy lawyer in case. If you're hiring a family lawyer, you've already made the decision to get divorced. Whereas in business law, there's no requirement that you have a lawyer a lot of times, right? Until you really have that dumpster fire. And even then, it's only certain dumpster fires that really actually truly require a lawyer. So one of the things we look for is a business owner who is being proactive and wants to do that. Mature entrepreneur is what we call it. Within certain industries, I would say construction professional services tend to be where we can add the most value, because they're dealing with a lot of contracts and a lot of intellectual property, a lot of different moving faucets. We have some like retail and restaurant clients. They don't tend to need us quite as much. They have more of a big need up front to get things right. But then, if you're operating a restaurant, your legal needs on a regular basis kind of go down. Whereas engineering firms, architects, accountants, all those sorts of people really are the people who are getting the most value for our services, because they're always coming up against a different contract or a different issue or a payment issue or something else where we can bring value.
So what's next for you and your company? Are there any new projects, exciting changes in direction that are on the horizon? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I would say so we run on EOS. We were talking about that earlier. We've been operating on that system for probably close to 2 or 3 years. So I think it's cool to see the it took me a while to figure out why Gino Wickman called the book Traction, but it's like, oh, we're getting traction. And so we don't really have any big massive changes coming up, but I think that also speaks to the idea that we're tweaking so many little small things all the time. Just to try to make it better, right? So we're using AI. I talked a lot about our problem with pricing is having to do custom proposals. Just before this call, we were on our L10 and discussing a lot about how we're already using AI to draft our proposals, but we're talking about the iteration of improving the AI to get the proposals out faster. I think that's it. I think that's kind of the key that we've discovered in business is that, yeah, massive changes are nice, but it's the small things that in the long run win the race.
So it's funny. There was a study done on the most perfect face out there. And they measured, the bridge of your nose to your eyebrow and the bridge, the right side to your eye. And they found that like simple shifts as small as 2 millimeters, your eyebrow being just 2 millimeters closer ends up with the perfect face. And I love that you talked about, small dials because it's not always about the big projects. It's not always about the massive changes. It's sometimes those small little things done, over and over and over that yields the biggest results, even though it doesn't give you the same gratification as a big rollout and big pow. But sometimes all your business needs is that 2 millimeter, tiny dial shift.
Yeah, and I think that speaks back to that example I shared, right? Like sometimes in a legal issue, a tiny dial shift is the difference between avoiding a legal problem entirely and having a 4 or 5 figure legal liability. I'm sure it speaks to that as well.
Okay, so we are licensed to do business in Texas and Louisiana. So if somebody in those states, right, wanted to follow up with you or wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
They can come to sparrowlaw.com. We have a button to click schedule appointment and then new clients. And we have a workflow and a process they can go through to schedule a call, to do an initial consult, see if we're a good fit. If someone's not in one of those states, there is a possibility we can work with them. I would say our minimum client size kind of goes up a bit. So if you're kind of just starting out and you want just a quick legal consult, we can probably do that, right? So we don't want people to self-exclude, say, oh, they're only in Louisiana and Texas.
Perfect.
You know, if you're outside of one of those states and you really just like what you hear and want to work with us, come to us and we'll make, you know, we're not, although we're a subscription, we're not like a SaaS service like Netflix, where it's like, here, there's one, two, three options, right? We're a professional service and we'll take a particular client and say, hey, yeah, we want to work with you and we can. Maybe we just need to make sure that this particular issue over here is, how do we solve this issue that's a state law thing that we need to address in your state? So we'll work with people on that front. Again, especially if they're that type of entrepreneur that wants to invest in proactive and ongoing services so they can avoid legal problems.
Perfect. And this is Andrew LeGrand at spiralaw.com.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so
Thanks
much.
For being on the show.
Thanks, Winter.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.